Let me ask you this. What is one thing you wish someone had told you about moving to the country you live in today? And it doesn't matter if you live in Africa or in Europe or whatever continent you're on, this question is for you. If you follow us on Instagram at the Discovered Oasis Pod, you can send us a DM. Or if you're a Spotify listener, you can also leave a comment on Spotify. I am your host, Dushasila Duhaye, and this is the Discovered Oasis Podcast. If this is your first time in this space, welcome, welcome, welcome. If you've been here before, well, welcome back. I'm happy to have you here. So the reason why I want to know from your perspective or from your experience what the answer to that question was, it's because it is today's conversation. So this episode is a little bit different from the ones that you've listened to before on this podcast, at least. I am joined by a friend of mine, Larissa Nedzegwe, who currently is in Burundi. And instead of us talking about what her life has been like since she moved, I thought it would be interesting to kind of talk about the things that we wish we knew before moving back. And here's the reason why. Back in 2021, before I moved to Burundi, Larissa was there already. So I met her 2012, 2013. We were both in Canada. We're both students. And fast forward, during COVID time, Larissa went back to Burundi. She had gotten a job and I moved there a year later, almost. And I remember calling her being like, girl, what has it been like for you moving to Burundi as an adult? Because we both left, we were teenagers. And she made me a whole list of things to bring, not to bring, things to know, to be aware of. Because let's be honest, when you are a teenager, meaning you are under your parents' responsibility, things are a bit different because now there are so many things that you don't necessarily care about. Whereas when you're an adult, it's up to you to figure out certain things. So I kind of needed to know. I already was aware of the fact that moving to Burundi this time around would be different for me. So I thought it would be interesting to have her on this podcast to kind of go back to what those things are. We recorded two times, you guys, I have to say. So the first time we were recording, the power went out and yeah, we lost the whole thing. So we're here again. So the conversation you're going to hear this time around is us recording again. So I hope you enjoyed this conversation, and especially I hope you join in and actually let us know. I am really interested to know. And again, it doesn't matter if you're in Africa or in Europe or whatever. What is one advice that you wish you had gotten before moving there? And before further ado, let's dive in. I think you did go in Burundi before I did. So I remember calling you being like, hey, what are the things that I should know about coming? You are in Burundi since when?
Since 2020. I did go back to Canada like in between, I think for a year. From 2021 to 2022, then moved to Mali afterwards from 2022 to 2023. So I'm back to being in Burundi since November of last year.
Okay. Yeah. And you were born there. You were raised in Burundi.
Yes.
But you left for school.
I did.
I feel like some of the things that we are going to talk about are going to be, they're going to be from a perspective of somebody who grew up there, left, and then came back. So why don't you go and say, what was your first thing you wish you knew about moving to Burundi, moving back to Burundi?
Yeah, I think my first, and it was a big one, was the fact that when you find yourself in a new country, in a new environment, it's not about everyone to adjusting to you. It's about you finding ways to adjust, to adapt, and to navigate the new country or the new society. And I think it's a big one because when we are coming from like the West, we feel like we know better, you know? You just have to be humble enough to know I am new to this place, and I just have to relearn and to just try to understand how things work here.
Mm-hmm.
And my way is not always the best way to do things. Mm. Yeah, that was my first one. Because for me, I came here. So as you said, I went to Canada when I was 16 for school. So anything in the professional world, I learned it in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So my way of doing things was very, not like my way of doing things in a professional way
setting
was very Canadian-like, meaning mm-hmm. coming here and try to work like I would work in Canada was not working.
You know where I felt the same thing, and I think will be a perfect example of what you're trying to say, is going to the bank. First of all, talking about banks, there's this one time I will never forget, and I think this is one of the things that I had on my list, is not knowing you can show me bank number. How? Nobody told me I could not go to any bank in Burundi wearing shorts. I went, it was almost 5 p.m. because they close at 5. It was almost 5 p.m. I needed to pay for COVID. You know how back at the time we had to pay for COVID at a bank? Mm-hmm. I go, I had a trip the next day. It's almost 5. No. Thankfully, that day I was with my brother in the car. I can't remember whether or not he was wearing shorts, but he was able to go for me. It would have been the end of me.
Yeah. To get back to the point, to my first point, had I knew that things were like that, I wouldn't have lost so much time and energy trying to do things the Canadian way, just because I would have known that it's not effective. You're not going to get what you are trying to get if you do it the way you do it, you know? You have to understand, to be humble enough. I'm not saying your way of doing things is good or bad. But like, I think at some point you have to understand, you know, I am the one coming in a country. These people have a way of dealing with things or doing things. Just adjust.
I don't think we realize how much of that savior mentality we go back home with. I don't think we realize it. And for me, it's not even, I think that's where really for me the culture shock was. It's the part where, so I left when I was 16 as well, right? And at 16 years old, we don't really do things our way. We do things our parents' way, right? You go where your parents go, you go to church where your parents go to church, and stuff like that. So it's, for me, going back to Burundi and living there as an adult was a completely, oh my God, two different things. It's a completely different setting.
Yeah.
And like the going to the bank thing, I never went to the bank when I was 16 years old. Like it would be my parents, right? So I had no idea. And because we grew up in a Western world, in a Western culture where, you know, like the banking system is, everything is fast. You just go, you take your money and that's it. You know, it's like 5 seconds, 5 minutes, you're in and out. And we go back not realizing that the way we are used to doing things now is not necessarily how it works back home. And we quickly go into that savior mentality, as you said. Oh no, we need to be fast. We need gutonda kumurongo. You know, like I remember even driving. It was my first time driving in Burundi ever. And I was like, and I was like, people are like, girl, this is how we do things here. And I think getting to a point where you're like, I am not trying to fix everybody here. Let me just embrace Burundi the way it is with its flaws. It's, you know, because at the same time, there are many other things that we love about home. And that's the reason why, you know, some of us decide to go, right? I think for me, the other thing that was a complete shock the first year was the staring. Mama we. Larissa, the staring. I was like, yo, okay, here's the problem with me. And I know you, you know this. I don't remember people. Like, I'm not good at like remembering people.
One thing that I know about you, you know a lot of people. you interact with a lot of people. So I can see how it's difficult for you to remember this.
No, for real. For real. At the same time, I talk to a lot of people, but I don't necessarily remember all the faces. So I'll be like, do we know each other? You know?
But I think that one has a lot to do with your own personality. I feel like people are too friendly to people. People think that you guys are friends.
You're going to tell me people don't stare at you?
You would see somebody like at the bank, you know, like, don't talk to, like, you know, chat and chit-chat, whatever. But I feel like you are that kind of person. It's cute, you know. It's a bubbly personality. But, like, that comes with, like, a lot of people thinking that you guys are friends. But also, let's also say, not to invalidate your experience, but I feel like you are also on social media a lot. So with that comes some...
No, like, I see what you're saying, and I think it's true to a certain degree, especially after some time. I was like, you know, on Facebook with Yaga and everything. I agree, but at first I was like, mama way.
I feel like now I'm very used to it. Like, I'm not impressed anymore. I'm like, you stare at me, I'm going to stare back and be like, hi.
The other thing that I wish I knew before moving to Burundi was, and this was a big one for me, was asking for help. Mama we. I wish I could tell you how many times I missed an opportunity just because I didn't ask for help. Just because I didn't ask my cousin or my friend or, you know, a person that I work with. Because I thought I can figure out everything by myself. Because after leaving, like, we live in these countries where it's the individual before the community, and you're so independent. And I have learned since I came to Canada I was like 19, 20 years old. From 19, I have learned everything that I have done was to learn how to do things by myself. Everything. But, like, when I say everything, I mean, like, from the smallest things to, like, the big things, right?
Yeah.
And then going home. So I ended up going home. I had one goal, was to be able to travel, to visit all the provinces, right, in Burundi. And this is how it would, and because I travel a lot, like, I am used to, like, planning trips and doing stuff like that. This is how I would do it in Canada. I'll go online, look for, let's say it's a place where I can just drive, right? I'll go to, what is it called? Budget or whatever. Look for a car, or Avis, book for a car, go pick it up and drive myself, go Airbnb, book the hotel or the Airbnb, and I'm done. I can just Google all the spots that I want to visit and I'm good. I go to Burundi. I'm like, hey, where do I get a car? I need to rent a car here.
I know.
I cancel, you know, I need to rent a car. There's no website where I can just go be like, rent a car in Burundi. Right. And I canceled way too many trips because just because I didn't ask my cousin, which had I asked him, he would have been like, at the time it was cheap, right? Like, you know, there's so many things that I had to tap into the mentality of asking for help is not a sign of weakness, because in Canada it's not. Asking for help is like, where was that? And I even remember when I first got here, everybody would be like, yeah, I know I cannot communicate. So you just YouTube it. Just go on YouTube and you're fine, right? But in Burundi, it's like, if you need to book whatever you want to book, if you want, you just have to rely on people. So for me, it was learning to rely on people a lot. That was a huge change for me.
And that's so good, because it touch base on the first, remember my first point of, like, trying to do things the way you would do them in Canada. Because, like, that's not how the community and the society here works. That brings me to a big one for me, was I didn't know how good moving back to Burundi would be on my mental health.
Yes, I wish
we would be more vocal about, like, the life rhythm is, like, slower.
Yes, I love that you said that, because that was going to be my last point as well. But go on. I will say something after that.
You get the time to actually get all the feels to live fully.
Yeah.
Because even if just anyway, COVID, and that, my dears, is so good. Mental health and the quality of life.
And yes! I feel like,
let's be more vocal about it, because that's a very big one, especially nowadays.
Makes a lot of sense. A lot of sense. And I'm so glad you mentioned it. For me, the way I was going to say it is the slow-paced life is not a problem. Mm. Because again, when I first moved, I was like, everything is so slow. I cannot. Why are we spending so much time in just one office? You know, and I remember being annoyed by it. I was like, you have a meeting. Yo, because one of my wishikiye 2 hours later.
Bata is stressed.
And I'll be like, there is something wrong here. Girl, shake again. I don't know, 6-7 months later, I was like, I love this. Because again, like you said, the fact that everything is slow, you've been in Toronto, girl. You know how downtown Toronto is like the craziest part of the city. Everybody's rushing. Everybody's running to the Union Station. Everybody, like, everything is so fast. And we do not realize how much that takes a toll on our mental. We don't realize it because everybody is doing that. So when you actually get home, Burundi, and you see that you are the only one who's trying to rush things out, everybody else is chill doing things, you know, slowly. I guess you get to realize, and you start slowing down. You enjoy the time you're spending with your people because, you know, and that is so special. And I wish, like you said, that we would talk more about it.
At my new job, we have an hour break. So every time I would just be watching my watch and be like, yeah, I have to be back at the office. Sometimes you would go back to the office like with nothing to do, but just because you are wired like that, you would do things with your own. And then you would see people like chatting. You'd be like, now, like with some time, like, bro, why do we have to like,
remember at some point, I remember when I was managing that small team, at some point I remember the girls, the ladies I was managing, they'd be like, oh, this weekend I'm not going to be able to work because Ndafisu Rwanza, and then it would be the next weekend it would be somebody else. I'm like, we got business going, what do you mean? But I had to learn that if I wanted to be a good leader, it was important for me to let them go.
That's a very good one, because I was
for shocked. Me, that was surprising. And again, it's the life of an adult. The amount of work that I had to do on myself to be able to respect that, not take it, understand that the fact you come business comes second is not a problem.
That part, I love it.
Whether we like it or not, it's what keeps people sane.
They're so right. Productivity, you could be, as a manager, that's a big one. On travaille pour vivre, on ne vit pas pour travailler.
And can we briefly talk about the customer service? The simple fact, you could even customer service. Yes, ugi, you're in a restaurant and you're going to pay for the food and whatever. But I had to learn at some point, the fact you could umu server, it probably means you could, like that day,
they have other stuff going on. You know, why do they have to put in to put on a show for you? And the way to one of our vote, it's because, again, it's not what we're used to seeing. We're used to seeing, oh my God, hi, thank you for coming. Let me know if you have any comments. But if you think about it, the amount of emotional work for you, I had to kind of be like, I understand. You are supposed to give me a good customer service because I'm a customer here, and you're supposed to treat me nice because, you know, but at the same time, you don't know what that person went through the whole day.
Oh my God, that's a good way of seeing things. I've never seen them like with that perspective. But it also goes to show how, even our smile, tout est déshumanisé en fait.
If you think about it, maybe restaurant because you want to unwind. You had a long day, you know, you had a stressful day, and you want to chill or in a nice restaurant, and you would want for whatever. But chances are, knowing in a day, had a long day where they were.
Oh, that's so good. As a front desk agent at the university, I remember being trained on smiling. For me, it was normal, but like now that you said what you said, I'm like, bro, you shouldn't. I mean, you should, but like, pas te forcer. That should be rewarded.
For me, the other thing that was a huge, like, oh my God, I didn't know about this, was for how long people were going to keep calling me Umu Diaspora, Umu come from. I was like, I thought I was going to be done with it in 2 months. Like, because I kept saying, yeah, can I be a local for a moment? Because every time it would be because they wanted to set me aside from everybody else. You know, it's like we're going up country for work. It's like, I'm like, hello. What do I need to do to deserve to be called a loco now? Like, I feel like I've been trying everything.
Another one for me, to piggyback on what you just said, was like being comfortable with the uncomfort of not being soit loco, chango diaspora, kuba in between. Kubera, it's very uncomfortable when you don't know where you fit. Because we always want to fit in part dumu diaspora, change dumurundi. You are both. And you cannot just be umurundi. Kubera, quelque part, hariho, there is a part of you that is really Canadian. Just for me, in the I know I have nothing of a Bruneian, for example. Because everything I know about the professional world that I formed outside of Burundi. Mugabo, I also know when it comes to, let's say, socializing, like talking to people, the base, I got it in Burundi. And sometimes when people would make comments like, oh, I would feel bad because I was like, but Burundi, what do you mean? No, and it was for me when I came back. It was like so hard to be okay with like being from both worlds.
Yes. It makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. And I'm thinking, had I heard you telling me this before, I would have not wasted a lot of time. Even for me, kuri jewe nyene, and for my kuri sante mentale yanje, I guess that's how I would say. I remember being really frustrated. Sometimes I would vocalize it because I'm, you know, around people that I'm comfortable with. But some of the times it would be like, I can't really say much. But it's bothering me that you keep referring me to umu diaspora when I'm actually not. Because I'm trying my best to be a local, act like a local, and doing all the things that a local would do. But to your point, and I love it so much, there's nothing wrong about being in the middle. And had I embraced it, I believe you, it would have saved me a lot of time, just for a lot of peace, at least.
you know.
Yeah.
So this is it. I hope you enjoyed this conversation where we were just unpacking things we wish we knew about moving to Burundi. Thank you so much, Larissa.
Thank you. It was my pleasure, Duchesse.
I will talk to you soon.
All right.
Before I end this episode, I want to say two things. First is that I hope you had fun listening to this conversation. I definitely had a lot of fun recording it. It was a lot of laughter. The second thing is that I hope you have a lot to say about, you know, either the points that we made or any other points that came to your mind as you were listening to this. I truly, truly, truly want for this space to be a space where you all feel comfortable sharing your thoughts, sharing your experiences. Even if you're not a guest on the episode, you can always send me a DM. You can always send me your audios or messages. I will always gladly read them. But I know some of the things that Larissa and I talked about are specific to our experience, which obviously means it cannot be everybody's experience. So if you had a different experience moving back to Burundi, please let me know what it was like. If you have questions about moving back to Burundi, I would gladly receive them. And if you moved to a different country on the continent, yes, please, I am interested as well to know what that's like, what that's been like for you. This was a short episode, but a sweet one, I hope. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate it on Spotify or Apple Podcasts and share it with a friend. And I'll catch you up in 2 weeks. Don't forget, no matter where you are, there's always a path to discovering your own oasis.